Excellent. Thank you for asking. I was told once, be careful of asking, standing up in front of people, asking them how they're doing, because they might just say, I'm doing horrible. And in a church setting, that might not be the greatest. But I actually thought about it afterwards, and I go, actually, that's a really good response. Because if someone did say that, then we'd have something to talk about. Then it's like, okay, excellent. Not excellent, but it's sad to hear things are not great, but you're at the right place. Let's talk about it. What's going on? Let's pray. The person next to you, let's pray for you now. So, yes. So, if you're not having a great Sunday, you're in the right place. Excellent. Did you know that on the 24th of June in 2007, my life was changed irrevocably? Yeah, no, it was 6 o'clock, just 5 to 6. I'll never forget this. 5 to 6 that morning, my life was flipped upside down, and it's never been the same, because that's the day my son was born. And I'll remember that because it was quite a traumatic birth. Taryn used to, in those first few birthdays, she'd be in tears because just reliving what was going on there. There was a moment where the gynecologist, she was standing there and she's contemplating. Connor's heart rate was dropping with every contraction. So she was watching that, and it was like she was contemplating. She actually stood like this with her hands crossed, like on her thumb, like calculating. I could see the calculations. Okay, so this is happening. This, we need to get the child out because he's in distress. Do we go straight now into the theater for a Caesar, or can we push through? And it was amazing. She stood there, and then I could see she waded up, and then she was like, no, Taryn can deliver this baby. And she just, it was a switch, and then like not even five minutes later, she was holding Connor in her hands. It was absolutely amazing. And then on a few years later, on the 20th of January, 2010, everyone will remember the World Cup. I can't remember a thing about the World Cup, but I remember that just after 6, Maddie was born, my daughter. Two instances that completely changed my lives, and I'm sure every parent in this room will say the same thing. And if you are a child here, know that your parents' lives were completely changed when you came into the world. It's never been the same. It will never be the same. So when you get home, give your mom and dad a big hug and say, yo, I appreciate you guys. Yes, because we make a few mistakes along the way. We get things right. We get things wrong because we're human. We do the best we can. Taryn's father, she didn't have the greatest relationship with her father, but still, she came to a place when God really worked in her heart, where she realized that her father was not by any means a good father, but he was doing the best he could with the information he had. So he was brought up in a certain way. He had all of that within him, and for him, that was the best way he could express. It was damaging, and it wasn't good, because he needed to work through a few things, which he should have, but he didn't. And it caused a lot of heartache. But Taryn came to that place where he was doing the best he could with what he had. And she got to a place where she could forgive him. And it set her free from a lot of things. And this morning, we're going to look at a father. We're talking about encounters with Jesus, and it's about a father that encounters Jesus. And we don't know the past, and we're not going to put people in boxes, but what I'd like us to focus on this morning is the interaction between the different characters in the story. Because sometimes we look at Bible stories, and we think it's similar to Hansi and Gretel. Hansel and Gretel for the English people. Yeah, Josh was completely lost there for a second. We think it's stories. Someone sat down, and I need to stay away from that spot. Just warn me. We think someone sort of went, you know what, that's a good story. When we read it, because that's how we get brought up. We get brought up in an environment where you read fairy tales. And then sometimes in Sunday school, when they read the story, it's like a fairy tale. It doesn't seem real. But these were real people. Yes, they lived 2,000 and odd years ago, and things were completely different, but they were real people going through the same things we're going through, just in a different format. So we're going to read about a father with a son that had huge problems since childhood. And this father was at his wit's end. He's reaching out. He's tried a lot of things, and nothing has worked. We're going to read about the son. It doesn't tell us much about the son, but there's a son in the story that was going through things that no one could really understand at the time. And we're going to read about a group of disciples that's been following Jesus and been trying, or they've been doing things. They were overcoming things. They were driving out demons. And then all of a sudden, there's a father that comes to them with a son with big issues, and they can't help him. These are real people. And I believe that in this room today, all of us can relate to one or two or all of those characters, because we're human. We go through the same thing. And this story is particularly personal to me, because I love this father's story. And I'm going to ask that you bear with me this morning. The Holy Spirit is taking us on a trip here. I'm not sure where we're going to end up. Most mornings, when, like any preacher you'll speak to, they'll say they have a destination in your message. I had a destination, but when in the week I had a coffee with Maverick, and the conversation sort of went around what I'll be sharing on today, and I felt God shifting the destination. So this morning, the Holy Spirit is going to take us on a journey, and we're going to end up, and we're all going to be surprised where we end up. But I'm submitting to what He wants to do this morning. So will we all, let's let God take us where we need to go. Let's all be honest this morning, because I'm going to be honest this morning. And let's, if you need to cry out to Jesus this morning, cry out to Him. If you need to be stretched this morning, allow Him to stretch you. And if you need to be vulnerable and cry in the arm of a stranger this morning, can we do that? Because where we're going as a group of believers, we're going to need a few things. We're going to have gone through a few battles. We're going to need a few battle scars. Because we keep saying this, Connected Life Church is not a cruise ship. We're a battleship. There's sharp, pointy things in this boat wherever you go. Battleships are not for comfort. I've been on one. They're horrible. Everything is cold and sharp edges. I walked in this thing, it's like, listen, this is on a ocean, it's not stable. If I just tilt my head, I'm going to knock it against this thing. Where's the people that's going to look after the IODs of all the people? That's not for comfort. Yes. Are you still with me, or did I lose everybody right now? Amen. So let's get into the story. Just before I read the text, just some context. So Jesus is busy preaching. He sent out a couple of chapters before. He sent the disciples out. They went, and it says they drove out demons, and they came back and they reported to Jesus, and it was like, man, it was absolutely brilliant. Because Jesus says, go, and He gave them authority to do things. So they came back, and then a few days later, I'm not sure how long afterwards, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, and they go up a mountain to pray. And as they were praying, Jesus' appearance suddenly changed. And the three disciples, they sort of half awake. They look, what's going on? The next thing, Jesus is glowing, and there's Moses and Elijah. They're with Jesus, and they're busy talking. And they're like, what is going on here? And, you know, Peter is like, doesn't know what to say. So he's like, oh, Jesus, why don't we build three huts here for you guys, and we can chill here on this mountain? But then they all disappeared, and they're like, okay. And then they walk down the mountain, and they come back. And here's a crowd of people. And this is the context that we pick up from. There's a crowd of people, and there's arguments going on. And as they get closer, they see, well, it's the disciples and some of the religious guys, the guys that studied the law. They're busy arguing. And Jesus asks, what's going on here? And this is where we pick up the story. And I'm going to read from Mark. I'm just going to read through the whole thing quickly, and then we'll unpack it. So when they came, this is now Jesus and John and Peter, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" I'm going to repeat that question. How long has he been like this? I want you to remember that. "From childhood," he answered, "it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, the disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." So there's a few groups of people that we see in the scripture. We've met the disciples, yes? We've all read about the disciples. Well, I'm saying met, but not physically, because obviously they're not here now, but we've sort of read about the disciples. And they came off quite a few victories, and they walked into this encounter. This father comes to them and says, "Can you heal my son?" And I can't comment, but it seems like they were like, "Of course we can, because we've driven out demons with big capital we." And it's like, yeah. And they couldn't. And they were, "What's going on here?" And it's for us, what I see in that, there's a group of people in our midst here this morning that may have overcome a few things. You may have won a few battles, and it's absolutely brilliant. But you can't stay in that, because there's more. And just because you overcame a battle, for me, I actually think that is when you need Jesus the most, when you've overcome something. I remember me walking into work one day, huge crisis, and I'm praying, "Hey, dear Lord Jesus, this could end up in me being fired." There was a huge thing. After a few days, it turned out that, we sorted out the issue, but what came from that was myself and another colleague, we were raised up in the eyes of senior management because of how we responded in this thing. So there's a little bit of, hey, look what I did. And it wasn't me. It was God revealing things to me. The Holy Spirit was like, it's random things that we saw. It's like, oh, okay, that and that. But in management, they're like, "Hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. We can give him more responsibility." Yes? But then what happens is, now I'm starting to walk around. Yes. And when the thing comes, the father comes with the issue, "I've done this. Jesus is up the mountain. It's okay. I've got this." And what happened was, eventually, through my own sort of arrogance, because I'm just being honest with you guys, I ended up reporting to the person that failed in that instance. I reported back to them because of my arrogance. I think they learned the lesson. I didn't learn the lesson. So sometimes we end up in situations where we've won a battle and we think we did it. You've done absolutely nothing. That was Jesus. So let's just be honest. Be careful if you start to feel comfortable. If I were to ask everyone right now, what would you like me to pray for you? Just think about, what would you like me to pray for you? If you say I'm okay, then I'm going to pray for you especially. Here's the thing, if you don't have something to pray for, it means you don't need Jesus right now. And he's not some Buddha that sits on a shelf that when we need him, whoa, the world is falling, let me go fetch him, rub his belly. I don't know how that works, but, and then all of a sudden, it's like we constantly need Jesus in our lives every day. We need him in our lives because if we don't, it means I've done this. Just think it through. In your life, do you need Jesus right now? And if you need to be honest with yourself and with God this morning, we can't read minds. But if you feel I'm okay, then you're comfortable. Mav spoke about it last week. We have to be careful when you're comfortable, because that's where Satan wants us to be. When you're comfortable, you're not going to get up that chair. You'd rather you'll ask the kids, because if you're a parent, kids, you can change the remote. That was the one benefit of children. I'll call the kids from their bedrooms to, there's the remote, just get there, thank you. One of the benefits, young guys, without kids right now, you can do it later on. Okay, for now, we'll abuse it. But don't be comfortable. Realize we need Jesus. Pray to him, Lord, where do I need you? Because I may not see it, because I've got blinkers. And when you pray that prayer, the downside is that Jesus will answer it. And generally, it's going to be someone that's going to come up next to you and do or say something that's going to highlight somewhere that you need Jesus in your life. We need to be receptive when that happens. Are you with me? The disciples coming off battles get into a situation, hey, we can't do this. This thing is too big for us. In our lives, be careful that we don't come up against that. Realize the need for Jesus. And then we read about a father. And like I said, this is very personal to me. Because when Madison turned 9, it was quite a few months after that, I was driving home one evening from a dance class and I get a phone call, please get home quickly, there's an emergency. So I drive home, get there, Madison is like tear in my car, she was sleeping. I have no clue what's going on. Terrence said she had a seizure. So we piled her in the car, we went down to the emergency room and they said, yes, they can pick up Maddie, had a seizure. And they didn't tell us at the time, but while we were there, she had another one. It wasn't detectable. And what she had was, it's called a grand mal seizure. That's what happens when you have a seizure, is that there's a little spark in your brain, a little bit of extra electricity that sort of explodes in your brain. And normally, or quite often, it stays localized, so it stays in one area. But when you have a grand mal, what it does is it starts and it spreads over the whole brain. And the funny thing about it is they've diagnosed Madison since then with epilepsy. Luckily, it's not triggered by lights. Hers is still unknown. She has what they call nocturnal seizures. So it's as she's falling asleep and as she wakes up in those two states, sometimes there'll be a little extra electricity in her brain. And the way your brain works, when there's a spark of something like that, what it wants to do is it sort of wants to like spread it. It's a good thing because as your brain gets stimulated in different areas as you're learning, your brain will be, oh, this is good for me. I'm learning something. So it sort of expands. The downside to that is with epilepsy, it's the same thing. It's something that happens and your brain assumes you're learning something, so it wants to do this more often. And that's why we get the medication that helps to stop that. So Maddie had a grand mal seizure nocturnally, so it's when she's sleeping. So when I read this story for the first, well not, after Madison was born, when I read that again, I knew exactly what this father was going through. Because I can tell you, when a seizure like that happens, so in Madison's instance, She started convulsing, not foaming, so it's not as bad as that. But she would go into, like, just start shaking. She goes extremely tight. All the muscles locks up. And then what we have to do is turn her on the side so she doesn't choke. And all we can do, as a father and a mother, Taryn used to just start praying. I would hold her, turn her on the side, hold her and say, Madison, I'm here. Don't worry, we've got this. So what this father was going through is that same thing. His son would convulse and foam. And this was a lot worse because he could fall in water or fall in fire and get burned. We're lucky in a sense that Madison was in bed when this happened. So she was relatively safe. But the thing as a parent was, as you're holding your child, you can't help them. There's nothing you can do. Because Madison will tell you, when she's having a seizure, it's like she's in this black place. She can't hear anything. She can't see anything. She can't feel anything. And she's conscious. So she's like trying to say, Mom, Dad, help me. But she can't. And at the same time, we're actually there with her. So the hard part for me through that was holding my daughter, telling her I'm right here, knowing she can't hear me. And that father was going through that same thing. Can you imagine what it was like for him since childhood? I don't know how long this went on. Since childhood, helpless to help his child. And I feel this morning, there's some of us here that's either themselves or you are a friend or a family member that you cannot help. A family friend that you can see is going through stuff, or you yourself, you're going through stuff and it's been going on for a while and you feel helpless and you feel, Lord, how am I going to get through this? You've prayed and it didn't seem to work, but and you keep going around and it keeps happening. And if you hear this morning and you have that person or that is you, I want to say that you're at the right place this morning. Because that father was at the right place at the right time. He reached out first to the disciples because he was desperate and then to Jesus. And then there was the son. And Madison can tell you what she went through. And this was quite a bit worse, I think, for the son. Because when he recovered from that, he wouldn't know what was going on. Because Madison, when she woke up, she was very disorientated. Had no clue. She'd always ask us, what happened? And then things would start coming back to her. And quite often, she'd have a headache or she'd just be emotional. She'd just be crying and we'd hold her, sopping wet, completely tired because of the seizures. All the muscles tend up, like tenses up. So it's like running a marathon. She is finished. And that boy would have been the same. But what made it worse was he'd fall into fire. So imagine waking up. You're not sure what's going on. Your body's sore. And then there's burn marks. And it's sore. And some of us here are in a situation where you feel no one's hearing you. Like that son. Like Maddie felt, no one can hear me because I'm isolated. I'm in a deep, dark place. And if you are here this morning and you feel like you're in a deep, dark place and you're alone and no one is hearing you, God, you're not answering me. I don't know where you are. You've come to the right place. Each of these people had an encounter with Jesus. The disciples spoke with him privately afterwards. I think they might have been a bit embarrassed. It was embarrassing for me sitting in a meeting getting told, oh, by the way, you were reporting to this person now. And it's not a cool thing to talk about because we want to talk about, oh, I did so well in that thing. But I want to say, yeah, you dropped the ball here, so now things have changed. But sometimes to get out of our comfort, we need to get uncomfortable. We need to acknowledge. The disciples did it in private with Jesus. They asked him, how are we supposed to do this thing? We tried and we failed. And Jesus said, this kind can only be taken out by prayer. What he was saying was, you were trying to do this based on your own ability. Come to me. Look to me first. Who gave you authority to go drive out demons in the first place? It was Jesus. He says, go. And then they come and they try and do their own thing and they fail. It's like, hold on, Jesus saying, hold on. Come to me first. I said you're in the right place this morning because we're going to look to Jesus right now. We're going to say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I'm comfortable. I am sorry, Lord. I'm struggling to get out of this chair. I'm struggling to move, Lord. Will you help me this morning? And it may require that you, this morning, that you pray for someone. It may require you to say, Lord, I have no idea what to do. I have no idea what prayer is. How do I pray? That's the best time to start praying, by the way. Lord, I've got no idea what to say. I speak Afrikaans. This person speaks English. But in Afrikaans. It's okay. Open your mouth. Start the words. That's what Jesus asked us to do. When Peter was sitting in the boat, we all know the story. Jesus is walking on water. Peter is sitting in the boat. Jesus says, come. Peter didn't sit in the boat and go, hey, brilliant, Lord. He got out the boat. That was not comfortable. There was a storm. And he's stepping on water. I've tried this growing up. Stepping on, it doesn't work. Okay, so that's my experience. That was his experience too up until that point. But you know what he stepped out on? Not on his ideas. He stepped out on the word of Jesus. Jesus says, come. He stepped out. So if you're here this morning and you're comfortable and we say later, will you pray for someone? Will you step out on the word of Jesus? And start praying. You don't need to do an eloquent praise 500 minute with big word prayer. Jesus told the story of a guy like a believer. He knew the word of God and he stood there and he prayed. He's like, oh Lord, look at me. Look at my accomplishments. You know, I've been tithing. Did you know that, Jesus? I've been tithing. Did you know I helped the poor? Did you know that, Jesus? I'm like, thank you, Jesus. But yeah, I think you are more thankful for having me around. And then another guy next to him was praying, and he was like, Lord, help me. And Jesus says, who do you think prayed a good prayer? Sometimes we don't need words. We just need to stand next to someone and say, Jesus loves you. That's a prayer. Can I stand with you? Can I put my arm on you? Can I say, you know what? Jesus loves you. And whatever you're going through, it's okay. When that father came to Jesus with a crowd of people, Jesus asked him a question. And for me, that is such a powerful question. Can you put that second last slide up? This is what he asked him. How long has the boy been like this? The father desperate. He's looking for answers. There's people all around. And back then, by the way, if you had a sickness, quite often people would say, you are sick because of sin. If it's your child, it could be because of the child or the sin that you have. So when Jesus asked that question, how long has he been like this? The father opened up immediately and said, since childhood. He wasn't worried about what people would think and what people would say. Oh, if it's since childhood, then you must have done something wrong. Because that's not how God works, by the way. If you're sick, it could just be the flu. Yeah? So not all sickness is rooted in that. We need to let go of that. We need to look at the person because that's exactly what Jesus did. He walked into that situation. He looked at the father and he said, how long has he been like this? What Jesus is saying, I gave up my throne and my comfort and I came into the mess of our lives. And he's asking us with compassion, how long have you been like this? It's not to ask a the question the doctor will ask you. How are you feeling? They're trying to get information. Jesus was relating. He was getting into the Father's world. He was getting into his life. He wants to get into your lives. And the question for all of us this morning, How long has it been like this? Can you answer that honestly this morning? How long has this thing been going on? How long has that relationship been broken? How long have you been gone around this mountain? How long? Let Jesus come into this moment right now. If you've been going on, tell him right now in your heart, tell him, Lord, I've been going through this for X years. Because that's what he does. He comes into our mess, not to judge, but to say, I'm here with you. How long have you been struggling? How long must this still go on? I want to help. Because he can. As a father, I prayed, Lord, holding Madison, Lord, can you break through? We used to, one of my favorite things, because Madison would, obviously it's understandable, because she'd struggled to sleep, and it's understandable because she doesn't know what's going to happen as soon as she falls asleep. And we'd go, Psalm 21, the Lord is my shepherd. I read Philippians, in all things, give thanks to the Lord. That was our mantra, give thanks to the Lord. I was that father for a long time. And God never took it away. But we kept pushing in. We kept saying those prayers. And I can say it's been, what, 2-3 years now where Madison hasn't had a seizure. And the last 2 years, she doesn't even have the feeling, because she would still get that aura after the meds started working, because we went through a few of them. And she's been doing fine since then. And that's what Jesus does. Sometimes he doesn't just remove the thing, but that's okay, because he's still in it. He's still with us. Do you know the thing about when Madison had a seizure? Quite often she would fall asleep afterwards and the next morning, or she'd wake up in the evening and then she'd go, she had this dream. And do you know how many times that dream spoke into something? She had a word for the church that there was a big ball of yarn, like strands going all around, and then there were names. And it was the names of the people in Connected Life. We shared it during lockdown, I think. Madison had this dream, and they all connected. And they all coming together, and it's God that sort of woven all these people together. So in the midst of the despair and the helplessness, God was working in the heart of my daughter. And I believe he worked in the heart of this young man, like he's working in the hearts of those that may feel God is not hearing you. I don't know if there's anyone like that here this morning. I haven't heard God. I can't see where I'm going. I'm completely lost. I'm not sure what's going on. God is in there right now. And did you notice how Jesus treated the son? Everyone was like, this son is dead. Sometimes we sit around and we look at that people is not spiritually going anywhere. Jesus saying, no, that person is alive in me. So regardless of where you're at, you may feel like you don't have a word. You may have had a word. You may have had a scripture on your heart, but you felt too scared to come and share it with someone. That's the same as that boy. He can't speak. He couldn't hear. The same as that. So if you've bottled words up, scriptures up, pictures, if you've bottled it up, it's exactly like that son. And as a group of believers, Connected Life, we need you to be obedient to what God is doing. Do you know how Jesus treated him? He reached out with his hand and he lifted him up. And that's what Jesus does for all of us. He comes into our mess, not to just, oh, I empathize with you. I hear what you're going through. No, he reaches out. He touches. By the way, that touch made him unclean, which means he probably had to go and wash. So when he touches us, yes, he's in our filth, in our dirt. And he's okay with that. because that is who he is. And he's not going to shy away from what you're going through. You know, quite often we have rooms in our heart. And we go, this is the clean room. This is where Jesus can come in. Then there's like the kitchen. The kitchen is a bit of a mess. There's dirty pots and stuff. Jesus can come there because he can see you working and cleaning the dishes. Yes? But that's, then there's the room that when the visitors come around, you just close the door. Yes? It's that room. We don't want Jesus in that room because it's too messy. Do you think Jesus does not know what's in that room? This morning, open the door. That Father opened that door. How long has this been going on since childhood? I don't care what people think. I don't care if they think I caused the sin or I did this. I don't care. What I care about, Jesus, is that you come into this room because I can't sort the mess out. You can. He's like those self-help TV shows where they put shelves in. Jesus can come in and he can do that for you. You need to open the door and invite him in and say, Lord, this is dark. There's no light in this room because I don't even want to see what's going on here. But I'll switch on this light and I'll let you come in, and it's going to be sore and it's going to be tears and it's going to be hectic and it's going to feel like you're being torn apart. But you know what? At the end of that, there's a son that stood up and look Jesus in the eyes. Can you imagine the look of that son seeing Jesus, seeing his father, and being able to speak? Can you imagine the joy, the freedom? That's what Jesus came to do, to set you free. I'm going to land with this. There's a Father in heaven, yes, that knows what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're going through, but he's not helpless like we are. He's the Father that loves, and he can break through, and he will break through. The question is, will you let him in? How long have you been like this? How long have you been like this?